Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Aquarius Podcast. I'm your host, Randy Reed. In this pre-interview section of the show, I would first like to go over a change I will be making to the episode titles moving forward. Thanks to a listener suggestion via email, I will now be providing more description in the episode titles to make the subject clear for everyone, but also to help people find the show through iTunes and various other podcast search methods. Hopefully, we can continue to grow the listener base for this show just by being a little more descriptive with the episode titles. Now, moving on to part 2 of What's in Randy's Fish Room. So, tank number 2 is my quote-unquote breeding-for-profit tank. And I say quote-unquote because I think it will be more my breeding-for-fish karma as opposed to profit tank, as my output from this tank will probably just end up being donations to my fish club auctions. So, what is in this tank? If you were thinking guppies and red cherry shrimp, you would be correct. For the guppies, I have a pair of beautiful red deltas. The first fry from this pair popped out around the beginning of February. I noticed movement in the tank from very small sources and was shocked to count 4 little fry. I was so surprised because I honestly thought the female had at least another week or two to go before giving birth. Keep in mind, this is my first time actually keeping guppies and having guppy fry, so I really don't know what to look for. I scrambled to dig out the Phoenix hang-on breeder box that I had purchased for just this occasion. I set the breeder box up with the included submersible pump, transferred the fry, and noticed that the current generated by that pump, even at the lowest setting, was far too powerful for the little fry. So I set up the breeding box with the air pump option, which turned out to be horribly noisy. I did a search of YouTube for do-it-yourself options to quiet this down, but everything out there seems really suboptimal. After close to a week of putting up with this horrendous noise, I switched back to the pump with some modifications using some Fluval canister foam I had intended to go in a sump. I zip-tied a portion of foam around the filter inlet, and then cut a piece the width of the breeder box to go directly under the outlet spray bar, with that foam submerging about 3/4 of the way into the box. This little MacGyver action did the trick perfectly. Lastly, I cut and placed another small piece of foam at the overflow point to prevent the fry from getting swept back into the main tank. Regarding the red cherry shrimp, I started with 2 males and 2 females. I had a buried female within a week or two. I left for a work trip, and I came home to find that same buried girl had died in the spawning mop I had placed in there. I was pretty bummed that I had lost her, and I really can't figure out why. But all is not lost, as I scored a group of over 15 red cherry shrimp at my local fish club auction for a very reasonable price just a couple weeks ago. For me, this tank is all about the satisfaction of breeding fish and shrimp. I can confidently say that I'm getting a ton of enjoyment out of this tank. It sits on my computer desk, so I get to view it while I work from home or during podcast recording sessions. That's enough about this amateur. Let's move on to the interview. Hello, everyone. Today's date is Sunday, February the 18th. Today I'm joined by Therese Neal. Therese is the coordinator of the International USA Shrimp Contest, brand representative for JBJ and Denali, and all-around fish and shrimp enthusiast. So Therese, thank you very much for joining me on the Aquarius Podcast.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much. And we had to do a little bit of rescheduling, but and you are in a different time zone than me. You are farther ahead in the evening. So thank you very much for sacrificing what potentially could be sleep time for you. So I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, we can all sleep when we're dead, you know?
Yeah, there you go. So Therese, as far as JBJ Denali, what is your title with JBJ and Denali?
Currently, my title and what it's been for the last year is sales and promotions, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
So I haven't been doing a lot of the promotions, not in the way that I would have thought that I was, but more of the sales for the last year, which was a new thing for me. I've never been a salesperson a day in my life. So it's been a learning experience doing sales for the last year. I like the promotion better, so I'm hoping to emphasize that going forward.
On the note of the promotions part, you did find, or at least the little podcast reached out to you, rather, I should say. And, we're going to do some promoting tonight. We definitely want to get into your background, but, I've checked out the website for Denali, and it seems like they've got some really cool stuff. So for the people that listen to this show, like I've said before, it is global. So we have the United Kingdom and Portugal, Canada, in addition to the United States. So there's like
awesome.
One person in each of those countries that maybe has accidentally downloaded an episode of this, but I'm going to count it. So,
well, that's cool. I actually have friends in the UK and in Portugal and in Canada. So, one little seed can grow much in other countries as well.
Awesome. It might have been your friends then that threw the courtesy download for this show. So if you talk to them, let them know I appreciate it.
I sure will.
So Teresa, before we talk about maybe your work as as the organizer of the international shrimp competition or with JBJ and Denele, why don't you go ahead and just kind of give a run through of your progression through the hobby as a fish and shrimp or invertebrate keeper for us?
Okay, well, I hope you have some popcorn. This is a long story.
Ready to go.
Actually, I'll give you the condensed version. I really didn't grow up with aquariums. I think my mom had a betta fish when I was in my late teens to early 20s, and I wasn't even living with her at the time. But my first, what I can remember, the first live aquatic thing that I took care of was actually a dwarf frog. And I had that little guy, I named him George, and had him for a couple years. And then when he moved on to frog heaven, I didn't have anything going for a long time. And then in about 2006, my then boyfriend and I had built a pond in the back of our yard. And that ran for about 2 years. And I had purchased just some Comet goldfish to go into it. And when we decided to tear that down, I decided that I would bring the fish into the house. And so this is where it all begins.
And they were about 2 feet long at that point, right?
Actually, no, they weren't. They stayed pretty small. It wasn't a big pond. It was just a small little doohickey. It was deeper. It was deeper more than it was wide, I guess, if that makes sense. So I did bring them in the house, and at that time, didn't know anything about the nitrogen cycle. I didn't know anything about cycling tanks. I didn't know why the water was cloudy. I was given a tank. I think it was a reptile 20-gallon long tank, and I had at least 5 to 6 goldfish that I brought in from the pond. So, I was a stay-at-home mom at that point. I began doing a lot of research to find out why this, why that. So I spent a lot of time with Google, and we upgraded to a 46-gallon Bowfront. And then I kind of got tired of just having the goldfish, because every time I bought something else to put in the tank, they would eat it. And so once I got over the goldfish, I moved on to other varieties of fish, and I tried a couple of things that worked and didn't work. But what really hooked me was a group of Corydoras. I had just got emerald Corydoras, and I think I had 6 of them at the time. And I happened to be going out the door one day, and I saw them spawning, but I didn't know they were spawning. And so it caught my attention, and I watched them for like the next 90 minutes, like fish porn. It was totally weird, but so... so interesting to me at the same time, just watching them do their dance and then look for their spots and, you know, do their thing and everything. And so that really is what started the whole obsession with fish tanks for me. From that point on, I began doing research about how to take care of them, the best environment for them, and not just the corridors, but any fish in general. And then I started looking up a compatibility. And from there, it did blossom. I went through a betta craze where I had, I think, six different tanks with 6 different bettas. My kids and I would pick out one when we would go to the store. And that finally subsided, and I condensed it. But I had discovered plants through all of my research. And that was where it really took off for me. I began just doing anything and everything that I could on a budget to grow plants and learn and research. And I finally had stumbled my way into the Planted Tank Forum. And when I did that, it was like a whole community of other people that were doing the same thing I was doing. And I was just ecstatic. It was amazing. And I met some really great people. And I actually met some people that were local to me. So they were a lot more advanced in plant keeping than I was, and they kind of took me under their wing and taught me a lot. And so that was in the end of 2011 and into 2012. I think I started keeping shrimp in 2013. I had a group, a colony of cherries, and they dominated my 75 gallon, even though I had fish in there with them. So I was like, I was into shrimp, but I wasn't into shrimp at that time. Like, they were just a part of everything else that I had going, which was, you know, just a variety of fish and always changing the plants up to see what I could do, what I couldn't do well. I mean, it's one of those things. I never really had a hobby in my life. And when I kind of found myself in this one, I threw everything into it. I spent so much time researching it, reaching out to people, learning, asking questions, reading up blogs and forums and articles. And that's kind of really what got me all into it. I guess it was kind of a long version of a short version.
Yeah, no worries. So how many tanks do you think you have at this point?
Sorry. Right now I have 9. I have 1 empty, which will be 10 whenever I get it going. Of the 9, I have a 65-gallon rimless custom tank, and that is my planted tank. That's my naturescape tank. I'm about to actually revamp it. Everything else that I have going are shrimp tanks now.
So what were some of the, you know, your lessons learned with your progression through having a planted tank? Because right now, I mean, this is the first time, this bout back into the hobby, if you will, is the first time I've actually had live plants in a tank. So what were some of the things that that you learned that now you look back and you just kind of like thump yourself on the head?
I still do that even from 6 months ago. So I think some of the transitions that I went through that I would not go back and do over again. The first one would be mineralized soil, MTS. It's great stuff. That was the first. I had a 20 tall and I had MTS soil in it. And it was just amazing. I had otocats that actually spawned and I had fry from them in that particular tank. And it was so messy. I just can't leave plants in their place for too long. I have to change things up. And at that time, I was still in the beginning of learning things. And so I wanted to move plants around in that. And it's not a good soil for that. It's not a good substrate for that kind of plant keeping. So that's one thing that I would not go back and do over.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure I've actually seen that in my local pet store. Maybe I'm just not looking for the bag. Okay, that's a...
Actually, you probably won't find it in a pet store. It's mineralized topsoil. So you can find recipes, or you can find, not recipes, but you can find in forums and even probably on Facebook practices to create mineralized topsoil. It has a lot of drying and sifting involved in it. So if you live in a sunny place, it's probably something that would be easy to do, but you kind of get it wet, almost like to a muddy substance, and then you dry it out, and then you sift it, break it all up, and you do this process several times, and that mineralizes it. And then when you actually use it, I had purchased mine from someone through the Planet Tank Forum that mineralized it himself, and it was sent to me with potash and another nutrient that I added into it before I cut. It was like in the bottom area, and then I capped it with sand. So I let somebody else do the hard work, but it was fantastic. I mean, the soil itself smelled delicious. I don't know, I'm a weirdo. I love the smell of soil. ADA Amazonia is the best smell in the world. And this stuff was really good stuff, but yeah, I stumbled across it on the forum for the Planet Tank, and I'm sure they have all these articles from years ago. It wasn't something that was new in the hobby at that time when I was getting into it, so it was something that it sounded cheap, and it sounded like something I could do. I tried to do it and I wasn't very good at it. So then I bought it from somebody who was.
Yeah, I think I would go your route, just knowing that I've tried to make the beef heart recipe before when I kept Oscars, and I think it turned out okay. But yeah, if you know, I'm just gonna buy frozen from now on, or just some high quality pellets. Yeah. So
beef heart sounds a little gross.
Yeah, back then when I was with my mom, and she definitely was upset about me using the Cuisinart or the food processor to make the homemade do-it-yourself beef heart recipe.
Yeah, I think I would be upset with that too.
All right, so you've advanced yourself as a fish keeper, now you're very much into planted tanks, to the point where mm-hmm. you're trying to do your do-it-yourself mixes, and I mean, you're really, really involved. So now, I guess, how does the sponsorship for the international shrimp contest come along? And then kind of on that note, how then do you get in a position to work for somebody in the actual hobby, an actual manufacturer for aquariums and accessories?
It really all just happened to be I was in the right place at the right time with the right people. So in 2015, I went to my very first convention in my life, and it was for the Aquatic Gardener Association, AGA. I was just a new member at that time, and I met with all the like-minded people that I had been conversating with online through the forum and also through Facebook, people that I had purchased plants from. And it really, I was terrified. I'm a people person, but I'm not a people person when it's strangers, not in a big, large group like that. So it was a very nerve-wracking weekend for me. I drank a lot. I always had either wine or beer. Through the whole weekend, there was a lot of hangover time. But coming out of that, I was really excited, and I had really made some really good, what I felt were good connections with people, friendship-wise. So a couple of the people that I had met had been talking about the aquatic experience that year at the show that we were at, and had asked me, invited me to come out with them, told me about the show, what it was. And I didn't think that it was something that I would be able to go to. You know, a mother of two younger children at that time. I was working. So I had a job. But in the end, I did go. And this was 2015, Aquatic Experience, Chicago. My friends that I was with had been there before, the year before, and they met some of the group, some of the greatest people in the industry that I can now call my friends. Esther Mouse, who is the owner of tissue culture. Well, I guess I should say the owner of a plant company out of the Netherlands, which is Aquaflora. I met Chris Lukop, who is the shrimp king from Germany. I met, Chris, when he comes from Germany over, he comes with the other Denali representatives, and they come over with JBJ. And at the Aquatic Experience, they have a shared booth. So I kind of met those people a little bit, but not so much. I mean, they're not hobbyists. So I didn't spend a lot of time with them on this particular trip. And I was there as part of a team for an aquascaping contest, and really made a lot of good friendships at this show as well. And from that was where the inception, I guess you could say, for the shrimp contest came. And it was Chris Lukop that brought it to, brought it to completion, or brought the idea. The concept of it is, it was something that he said he had tried to do before, but it wasn't the right time. And this particular weekend, he had grabbed about 10, maybe 15 of us. I know Rob Lupton was one of them. We talked about this a little bit on his show that I was on a couple weeks ago, where he just rounded up, you know, a group of people and said, I think this is the right time. I think we've got the right people here. I really want to see this happen. And so that was in November of 2015. I made a Facebook group for everybody that was there, added everybody in, and we all kind of talked things through, you know, did a little bit of brainstorming, And then in the end, about 6 months later, I think it was, Chris had me join him down in Orlando to meet with the president of WPA, which is the World Pet Association, and some of the other key people on the board for Aquatic Experience to basically sell the idea to them. They were excited about it, so they agreed. They basically donate the space that we have, which is great for us because we don't have to pay for it, which means that we don't have to have a lot of money coming in for the contest. Anything that we do have money coming in for, we use for the expenses of the contest itself. But anyway, so we met with them. They said yes. And then Chris and I just kind of started working on it from that point on. It just all snowballed into the first one in 2016, which turned out to be a really good success. I was very, very proud. At the end of it all, I was nervous up until because, you know, I'd never done this before. I'd never organized anything. I tell my kids what to do, but, you know, that's nothing. So I was very pleased that everything worked out really well. And my role with JBJ came a few months later when I was contacted and talked to about the idea, kind of tossing it around as a sales representative. And thought it was a good fit. I thought it was a good fit. I mean, how often does a hobbyist actually get an opportunity to get a job in the hobby? I don't know of anybody that's really been able to do it. Not in that way. I'm not a biologist. You know, I didn't go to college. So a lot of the background that I find that hobbyists have or that people in the industry have, I don't have that. So I really literally was in the right place at the right time with the right people.
Yeah, and I mean, not to sell yourself short, though, but I mean, you helped to put on an awesome event. And so I'll tell you, as somebody that only knows or has only perceived that 2016-2017 event from postings and people talking about it online, I would never have known that the stress and, you know, just that it was a very, very new thing and that, you know, we really didn't know or your team really didn't know what exactly was what the outcome was going to be, especially in 2016. But, you know, it to me, I would have said, oh, yeah, professionals put that on. So, you know, don't sell yourself short. I mean, you and your team did a phenomenal job. And I think, you know, just the sheer success of it. And I would assume that for 2018, it's going to be an even bigger event and that you guys are going to have even more success. So, you know, I think JBJ coming in and saying, yeah, she put that on. Yeah, we want her on our team. I think that was a good call by them.
Yeah, I'm really glad that to have been a part of it. You know, for me, the end result was all that mattered. Bringing light to a side of the hobby that not many people knew about, that was the key thing for me. I mean, that was my motivation. But also to put on something that was, you know, appealing to everyone, that made everybody happy, that has the say in this, that, and the other. And also present it in a professional way and handle it. I mean, that was really key for us, I think. And we did pull it off in 2016. We had an amazing team of volunteers. And these people came in. We didn't pay them anything. They just came because they were dedicated hobbyists that wanted to be a part of it, that wanted to, you know, talk about it. And I mean, we spend 8 hours a day talking to people about the shrimp hobby all day long. That's what we do for 3 days. And it's fantastic. We love it. And so it was really great. We had some of the same volunteers do it for the second time around. And I think even for 2018, although we're going to be in New Jersey, I do believe some of the original volunteers are planning to come up and help us out with the next one as well. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the fact that now people in New Jersey that, I mean, because hopefully we're getting families that, or just people in general that, you know, have some free time on the weekend, they're looking for something to do, and they're maybe not hardcore hobbyists, but they see this aquatic experience, never heard of it before, and they're going to go. And they're going to walk around, they're going to see the booths, they're going to feel the energy and how excited people are, they're going to see the really cool tank set up, and then they're going to come across this shrimp competition. and they're not going to have any idea what this is, and they're going to be blown away like I was, you know, seeing all these different Caradina and Neo-Caradina shrimp that, you know, is it painted? Is it dyed? Like, how did they get it so colorful? How is that even possible? And it's freshwater. You know, so that's, yep. I mean, that is awesome. And I'm sure all throughout the competitions and throughout the convention, you're seeing the look on people's faces when they see these fish or these shrimp rather for the very
Most
first
definitely.
Time. So that
it's all magic.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely hope that I can make this happen going out to New Jersey. Maybe have to finagle a work trip out there for me to be on the East Coast, or we'll see how it pans out towards the end of this year once that experience comes around.
Well, I definitely hope to see you there.
Yeah, totally. I definitely hope to be there as well. So let's talk now. So JBJ and Denali, and again, JBJ is much more in the salt water, right? Do they have any freshwater offerings?
No, they don't. So if you were completely a freshwater hobbyist, such as myself, I had heard of JBJ, but only because I had been into my local pet stores who had JBJ tanks and had corals in them, so I knew the name, and I associated that with marine. But the relationship between JBJ and Denali is that JBJ is the U.S. distributor of their products. So we distribute them to retail locations or wholesale, you know, we're wholesalers, basically.
Okay, and is Denali, they're primarily then freshwater, correct?
Yes, Denali focuses on the planted aquarium, and the Shrimp King line is a part of Denali as well, and that is, of course, dedicated to invertebrates.
Okay, so in one of the big reasons, I mean, other than you just being the, you know, somebody that put on and is going to put on these amazing shrimp competition events, and I really hope to have you on later in the year as we get closer to the New Jersey event to have you talk about it and really, you know, build up some excitement about the shrimp competition and
aquatic
experience. But I really want to bring Denali to this audience of people that listen to this podcast, because as a hobbyist myself, I had never heard of them until I started, you know, just doing some initial research for our particular conversation. Going onto their website, I mean, one, I know that they're based out of Europe just by how their website is set up. And, you know, when English is represented by a British flag, then, yeah, I know that you're probably a European country, or you're from Europe. But looking at their offerings, like, they've got really, really cool tanks. And the two in particular are the Scapers tank. And I may be messing up that name, but so you can correct me on that one. And then the shrimp tank as well. And then hearing on the live stream with Flip Aquatics, Rob, the one that you were on, talking about this Shrimp King food as well. So that's also Denali, correct?
Yes. The Shrimp King line of food is all Denali. In Europe, I believe they have actually developed tropical fish food, but that's not a product that we're carrying here in the U.S. We are limited. We have a limited amount of what's coming into us from Denali. In Europe, which I've had the opportunity to go to the headquarters there in Germany, to the Denali headquarters and see the nursery and everything. But in the stores also, there is, everything that you could want as a hobbyist is there in the stores in Germany. Actually, in everywhere in Europe that I've visited last year, I've seen everything that I wish we had here in the United States. We have a limited amount of what Denali produces, but it's a good starting point, I think. That as far as the tanks that we have, the Scapers tank and the Shrimp tank, they are identical. They're the same tank, the same dimensions. The kits come the same. They come with the light and they come with a corner filter. And they're for the same price, just marketed towards, you know, geared one toward shrimp and the other toward planted tanks. But it's basically a 10-gallon tank.
Do you have the dimensions for those tanks off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, of course I don't. But I can measure them because I'm looking at one.
Yeah, because I want to say it's 16 by 15 by like 14, somewhere around there.
Let's see. We've got 15 inches. 15 inches long. 12 inches front to back, and what is that? 11 inches tall.
Okay, so looking at this, seeing the dimensions, in a previous episode, I talked about the Fluval Spec 3 that I'm very happy with. It's a great little tank, and that's what's in my kitchen right now. But it's taking up a corner of my kitchen cabinet space, and it's basically just kind of that tank and then our little utensil cubby, whatever you want to call it. And that's mm-hmm. about it there. But I've got a lot of wasted real estate. And looking on the website for Denali, checking out that Scaper's tank, that thing would be perfect. And what's the MSRP on that tank?
It retails for $149.
So $149, like a- you get essentially, to me, that looks like a custom tank. Like, I don't see anybody that carries a tank that size. It's certainly not at the dollar a gallon sale at Petco. It's got that wider footprint, so it's going to help me maximize the space more on the countertop. It's a beautiful glass tank. It's rimless, right?
It is correct, yes. And it has curved corners on the front, so you get the panoramic view. And then it has the flush corners in the back.
And it does comes with a lid as well, in addition to the light.
Yes.
So you get all that
a
stuff.
A lid, the clips.
Yeah, okay, and clips. So you get all that for $149, and I don't know where to get it. So that feels like a problem. Like, I don't know what store to go into. How do we get Denali on the West Coast? And the people that listen to this, like, I want them to go onto the Denali website. I want them to find, like, contact us and say, hey, I live in California, or you're like me, you live in Seattle, Washington. I don't see this product on the shelf. It looks really cool. I've watched videos of guys in Eastern Europe. I can't tell what language they're speaking, but I've watched them unbox it and set it up, and it looks like a really cool tank that comes with a lot of stuff mm-hmm. for, you know, $149. That seems like a really good value. So how do we go about getting it on the West Coast, or at least just throughout the United States?
Well, that's the tricky part. Because it is fairly new to people in the U.S., unless people have seen it face to face at a show, they're really not familiar with the name brand. And that, of course, affects the retail locations, because if the store owners or managers don't know anything about a product, but they see that it's available, they're not going to stock it unless they have customers that come in and ask for it. Any retail location can contact JBJ and become an authorized dealer. Once they're an authorized dealer with us, then they have access to both the marine and the freshwater products. So if there are any stores, whether it's in Seattle or if it's in New York, they can find me if they're not able to find JBJ's website and the application for the process. I field a lot of questions on Facebook, and I'm easy to find. On Facebook, it's just my name, Therese.Neal. If I can't do it myself, then I will absolutely point someone in the right direction. Now, as far as where they are right now, retail, there are some stores in California. There are some stores, one store in particular in Colorado. There's a trickle of some stores in a few states here and there, and we're just starting to infect the Northeast region right now. But you're right, I don't know of any store actually in the area where you're at that's purchasing or carrying them. They are available online with some retailers. I know you can find them on Amazon and 7C Supply. Rob at Flip Aquatics can also order them and have them shipped out. Of course, shipping is going to cost a little bit extra, but as a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it, they offer free shipping. And what was that? MarineDepot.com. I think you get free shipping anything over $12. Doctors Foster and Smith also.
I think Marine Depot is where I might have I've seen it. And actually, I think the Marine Depot site had a little bit more detail than the actual Denali U.S. Mm-hmm. site did. So,
I noticed that too.
Yeah, so definitely, I think we just need more people online getting their hands on these things. Certainly somebody that knows how to scape, because that wouldn't be me. But you know, getting
not me either. I play. I don't really consider myself a skaper.
Yeah, I mean, I think just getting the buzz online about this tank and how cool it is, whether you're just, you know, you want the shrimp one because you're just a shrimp breeder and you want that wider footprint, you know, you don't need as mm-hmm. tall of the water column, or you're a skaper, or you're like me and you just kind of want to mix and you want something to just fit a space a little bit better. I think at a higher level, what I like is this idea of a new entrant into the U.S. market for aquariums. You know, we've got a couple manufacturers here and they just seem to produce the same standard rectangular sizes, and that's about mm-hmm. it. Or maybe it's the consumers. Maybe as consumers, we are just so ingrained to purchase tall rectangles for our aquariums, and you know, we're scared to purchase squares. I don't know what it is. It's furniture, it's space in the room, it's what have you. But I think trying to generate more buzz, and at least me myself going to something that has a footprint like this, I think it's just gonna, you know, open up more options for me, especially in the particular place and in the you know, the application that I'm thinking of using this particular tank.
Yeah, it's definitely having European vendors now, or manufacturers that are able to get the products into the U.S. is certainly opening up the door for different things. And I think that maybe we just always stuck with the rectangle because that's what we've had for years and years and years. I mean, that's really all we've really had, and everything with the rim, the frame on it. So the rimless it's not new. It's not a new concept, but it used to be something that was more custom than it is now. You can actually purchase like our tanks for rimless. And then also there are other companies that are making rimless tanks now as well. You know, the Europeans, they're like lifetimes ahead of us when it comes to the aquatic hobby, in all aspects, in aquascaping, shrimp keeping, in saltwater tanks. The products that they have created to support all three of those areas in the hobby. I mean, there's some really fantastic stuff out there, and I'm happy to be a part of JBJ and to be a representative for the Denali products. You know, there's some things that I have just gotten my hands on that we are just bringing into the U.S. through Denali. For example, one of them is a hang on the back canister filter called the Scapers Flow. So the Scapers tanks are great. You know, it comes with a corner filter, like I've mentioned before, which are fantastic for shrimp. But if someone were to purchase this tank and they wanted to maybe put some nanofish in it, that filter is really not going to support a lot of fish in there well, maybe a betta. But if you start talking about any of the microfish, or, you know, even nanofish with a couple of shrimp, you might want to look at other filtration options. And so this is one of our options, and it's actually a canister that hangs on the tank or can sit behind the tank in a stand-up position. And it has a lily pipe, which is something I've never seen, not on anything on the hang in the back. And so that's fantastic for all the reasons that we would want a lily pipe in our tank for the Planet Aquarium running CO2 and aquascaping. And so I'm able to actually test out these products, get my opinion, play around with it, do different things, and then I talk about it with people on Facebook. I've done a couple of videos that I've posted on my channel on YouTube. Don't get excited. I have like less than 20 subscribers, I think, and there's maybe 5 videos that I've just posted in the last like 6 weeks. So it's not something that I've used my YouTube channel, but it is an outlet now that I think that if anybody who sees me on Facebook or follows me on Facebook and knows that I represent Denali and want a little bit more detailed information than what they're seeing out there, that's my opportunity to show them. And, you know, I basically talk to myself as the hobbyist in me. What would I want to know? What would I want to test out or try out, or can this be done? Can that be done? And that's kind of what I show when I'm showing the products.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, just having that hobbyist background, I mean, I think that's exactly what you want in your sales rep. So, and I've watched your videos, and that hang on the back canister filter, it's very aesthetically pleasing. I would say it's as aesthetically pleasing as a hang on the back canister filter can possibly be. Yeah, it's right. Yeah, and I guess the other thing that's really exciting about, you know, Denali offering products in the U.S. is that as aquascaping, you know, continues to take off, or it continues to grow here in the United States, you know, if you're a hardcore aquascaper, you don't have to fit your aquascaping to the tall rectangles anymore. You know, you're getting more mass-produced, and I say mass-produced in a good way because that means it's something that is being brought to you at an affordable price that is more in line with what you want to do, with more in line with your application, as opposed to, I mean, maybe you're extreme and you're going out and getting custom pieces of glass cut for you. I know I just went and did that for my sump I was going to put under my 75-gallon, and just four pieces. I think each piece cost me, you know, $12 or $15. So, you know, if you were to basically build one of these tanks from Denali for your scaping, it would probably cost you the exact same, maybe a little bit more, and then you have to put the labor in to actually make it work, and then you don't get all the fun little accessories, and then you get to always be paranoid when you go to sleep or you leave for work that your tank is going to explode, which is why I would never.
Yes, and you probably wouldn't get the clean lines where the silicone meets all the joints and everything, which, you know, for a lot of aquascapers, that's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't want to see my sump tank that I made. Oh, it is, there is silicone where there should not be silicone on that thing.
Yeah, I've had my fair share of resealing used tanks that I've purchased before. As a matter of fact, I had the 75-gallon I had before was a used tank. And I traded, I don't remember what for what, but I got that. And I resealed the entire inside of that. So I scraped for days. And then I did the silicone work myself. So I know exactly what you mean about it's in places where it shouldn't be.
Yeah, you can sleep at night because you know it's sealed up well. But they're not as pleasing to the eye as maybe they should be.
Correct.
So for 2018, what else do you have on your plate? I mean, as far as your territory for Denali and JBJ, are you national? Are you going to be traveling around to various accounts and various events?
Well, I'm actually in the process of, I guess you could say, negotiating or discussing a change in my role with JBJ to be more national, to be more promotions. I have a full year. Actually, coming up next month, I will be at the NEC show, which is the Northeast Council Convention, and that is the weekend of March 16th. And following that, I am going to the Global Pet Expo in Orlando. And in the end of April and the beginning of May, I will be in Spain. They will be having their second international shrimp contest there in Spain, and I'm going there to support them as well. I will do, actually, for the first time after that contest is over, there's a group of us, about six of us, that are going to go. We'll be in Madrid for the contest, but we're going to venture down towards Valencia and do a little wild collecting, which I think is going to be so much fun. After that, I'm trying to get my way to Inner Zoo, which is in Nuremberg in Germany, and that is the middle of May. But that's to be seen. I don't know if that was going to happen or not. Inner Zoo is something that happens only every 2 years, so I have to really plan it right because I've been wanting to go for a long time. But regardless of that, in September, I will be going to Dortmund, Germany, to also help with the shrimp contest that they're having there, which is within a fish show, kind of like ours. For the aquatic experience, they have the Aqua Expo, Aquatag. I don't speak German, so I can't remember which one it is and what it means. But so I'll be going there for that. Then that's in September, and then in October we have our show in New Jersey, and I think that I may be going to China towards the end of the year.
So during all this travel, Are you paying your kids to make sure that your tanks are properly fed and water changed?
Well, the water changes, I don't worry so much about. All of my tanks are cycled, so, you know, I can just leave some RO water and have my husband fill up what evaporates. But the last trip that I took, I found this to be a good technique. I have, you know, little baggies, and I will write down the day, and I put the amount of food in it, and then I tape it to the tank. So the last trip that I left, I had food for Monday, I had food for Thursday, and I taped it to each of the tanks. So they gave the shrimp and the fish precisely what I wanted them to do. So I think I'm going to go with this technique going forward, and it will be less stress.
Yeah, that is genius, because I asked my wife one day when I was at work to feed the big tank bug bites, and I didn't specify which bug bites. So I think she ended up sprinkling far more of the bottom feeders, the bottom feeder bug bites instead of the tropical fish bug bites. But yeah, you know, that's that is genius. It may not be the best to look at, but your method is, yeah, I mean, if anybody's listening to this, if you're going to take one thing away, that right there. When you need somebody to feed your fish, Ziploc bag all the food in advance, Sharpie the instructions, tape it to the tank.
Yeah, you know, well, we shrimpers will pass around a lot of different samples, and so I've been collecting shrimp food samples for probably 2 years that I still haven't used yet. But if you go into a hobby store, you can find little baggies. They're actually in the jewelry section, and so they're really small, so you don't have to use a Ziploc bag, because of course shrimp tanks, they don't need a lot of food. And so it's not taking up a huge amount of space. But yes, I mean, in the end, you could use any kind of bag that's sealable and tapeable and write directions down.
Yeah, very good. Very good advice. So, Therese, thank you very much for your time tonight. And again, I just want to tell the audience that, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is, sure, I want to talk to breeders and conservationists and ichthyologists and everybody around the hobby, right? But I think it's really important as well to talk about, you know, the products that are available to us to support this hobby, because without the aquarium, without the filters, without the lighting, we couldn't have these really cool animals. And so, you know, having the opportunity to have you on the show tonight to talk about a new entrant into the U.S. market, even though they've been around for, I think, close to 50 years, right, in out of Germany. And they're bringing, you know, a smaller offering of what they have totally available to us, though, is really good news for us. And I think it's something that should absolutely be shared and talked about, because it's going to take those that are producing currently for the U.S. and it's going to shake things up. Hopefully Denali is a disruptive force, and it causes these other companies that have been able to collect our money and sell us products and not innovate. It's going to force them to innovate. It's going to force them to compete, and we win in the end. So I do believe
absolutely.
That, yeah, from looking at it, Denali has a fantastic offering, and I would highly encourage you to go check out their website. But yeah, anytime we have an opportunity to have somebody that's going to come in and try to sell us new products, that is a good thing. And it's not, this is meant to be an infomercial. This is, hey guys, we have this great opportunity to check out a new product, to disrupt our industry, and to demand more from the people that that supply us. So, I mean, that's really, you know, what I wanted you on here for. And not to mention, you know, as a shrimp contest, I don't want to say promoter, but as somebody that actually puts them on, you organize the U.S. Shrimp Contest, and you know, you're going to continue to do that. And I definitely, like I said, want to have you on again to talk more specifically around that topic right there. So, Therese, thank you very much. And again, so how can we get a hold of you? How can we check out JBJ and Denali products? So if you want to leave us with that.
Yeah, like I said before, I'm easy to find on Facebook. It's just my name, Therese Neal, N-E-A-L. Same thing with YouTube. If you want to see the dorky videos that I've put together there with some of the products. If you want to become a JBJ authorized dealer, the website for JBJ is JBJ Lighting. Actually, it's JBJ Aquarium. .com or JBJ Lighting. I still go to the old webpage, but it redirects you. And we do have links on that website that show some of the dental aid products. It's not updated with everything we have to offer now. We have a lot of CO2 products that we're offering. But I am almost always online. So if you find me, don't feel like you can't send me a message and ask me questions, because I will respond. I respond to everybody, and I'm always online, 2-3 in the morning. I don't know when I sleep. I kind of just figure it out.
Yeah, I'm cutting into your sleep right now too. So Therese, again, thank you so much for joining us on the Aquarius Podcast. I really, truly appreciate your time.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me, and I'll be happy to come back and talk about the shrimp contest here in a couple months.
Awesome. I will be reaching out to you on that. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. So that is a wrap for episode 3. A huge thank you again to Therese Neal for her time with me, but more importantly, as a champion of this hobby, both as a brand rep and as an organizer of the International Shrimp Competition USA. Thank you all for listening. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your fish nerd friends. I truly appreciate it. Until next time.